Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Bill Crawley here this morning. We are going to talk about the Great Live series once again. Bill, welcome to the show. This is I tell you it every year, and it's the honest truth. I really look forward to this show. Great Lives is such a jewel for this community.
Well, Ted, thanks, and thanks for having me back. I think it's a good series this year, but I get a lot of kidding about always saying every year this is the best ever, but actually I think the one this year is probably certainly one of the best ever.
We're going to go through in the course of the show here today, talk about each of the shows, but as far as Great Lives itself, I think it surprises a lot of people that Great Lives started as and still is. It's a class.
Right. A lot of people don't realize that. The first year we did it was really mainly just a class, but we decided, well, we'll open some of the lectures up to the public, not knowing what to expect. And it quickly outgrew the first venue. We moved to a larger venue. It outgrew that. We've actually went through three before we finally ended up in Dodd Auditorium, which is the largest venue on campus. It seats over 1,000 seats, about 1,200 people, and we've had it full on occasion. So it attracts very large crowds.
And you've had some big names. Last year when Bill Nack died, I remember thinking he did at least two.
He actually did, I think he did three. He did, the first one he did, I believe, was Muhammad Ali, whom he knew.
Okay.
And that was very interesting when he did Babe Ruth. And of course, Babe Ruth is interesting, you know, himself. It was a great lecture. But my favorite, and incidentally, I saw a brochure out in your lobby a while ago for Secretariat, and he did Secretariat. And people ask me, what's my favorite of all the lectures we've done? And by now, we've done close to 300. And I have to say, probably it was Bill Nack's Secretariat. Liked it so much, we had him back a second time. And it was just terrific.
It was. I saw him the second time, and boy, he was good on any of them, but that one was especially good.
It was, and incidentally, I ought to mention perhaps that he was good enough to do them gratis, actually, because his daughter went here, and he said, "Well, I'm just doing them for Emily," and I knew Emily when she was a student, so he came three times, more or less, for her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's another.
She's a lawyer up in D.C. now.
The series itself, what, it was 2004 it started,
right,
wasn't it?
That's right, 2004.
And we've done this a number of years. I don't know if we've done it every year, because I don't know. Did you think it was going to be this big?
No, I really had no idea. And I got a pretty good idea it might be big the very first year when the first lecture we opened to the public filled up the room, which seated, that room seated about 200. So as I said, we moved to a larger venue and kept moving to larger ones. But no, I didn't know it would go on this long. And it wouldn't have, I don't think, had it not, at least not at this level, had it not been for the support of the community, not just by coming to the lectures, but financial support. So we have so many local people who contribute to it to make it, not only to allow us to attract the speakers who are oftentimes fairly expensive, but also we have local businesses have been very supportive, have corporate sponsors as well as individual sponsors. That's what makes it possible.
We may have done it. We've
done it a lot.
I think
the first time we did it, this has to go back a ways because Carter Hudgens has been gone for a while from Fredericksburg.
You and Carter did.
We did it for a number of years, and I guess Carter originally, the very first year, we sort of teamed up to do it. But after that, I guess I was pretty much on my own. Carter was awfully good at that. In fact, I have to give Carter credit for one thing, that is the name of the series, because when we're trying to think, what should we call it? The class, actually. What should we call this class? And I was thinking of things like, you know, we knew it was going to be a biographical series. That much we had already decided. But what would you call it? And I thought, well, maybe life of their times or times of their lives or something like that. And caught on. Never will forget. Carl just said, well, let's just call it Great Lives. And it was simple. It caught on. And so that's what it's been ever since.
And I'm, as I look at this year, because some years you have to include the disclaimer that we're not always talking about great lives.
Yeah.
For good things, but just significant.
Well, that's right. I think that's one of the questions that comes up occasionally, perennially almost. If we have one that's not, shall we say, an admirable life, somebody will most likely say to me, how could you call this a great life? And I have to go through the routine about, well, we don't mean great as necessarily good, but lives that had impact. Well, it might be good impact, it might be bad, but it lives that were significant, whether good or bad. Most of them are good, but sometimes you get some that are questionable.
Maybe there's none, but you usually have read all these books.
Well, no, not necessarily. I've read a lot of reviews in some of almost all the books. Well, I guess some of all of the books and all of some of the books. But I do read an enormous number of reviews, which is really how I most usually come across topics I think we'd like to do. But I don't have time to read all the books. I mean, that's a lot of times my wife says, gosh, you choose such big books.
the Great Lives Library with as many guests and topics as you have would be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's in my house, and it takes up a lot of bookshelf space. And I usually have signed copies of all of them, and they're about to take up all my shelves.
Great Lives is on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7:30 Dot Auditorium. Great Lives is really the kind of thing that we mentioned about being a jewel for the community. It really is. We're lucky to have something like this. This is something that you think of big metro areas or places with big universities
But no, they don't have it, as far as I know. I don't think I'm told by people knowledgeable in the field that there isn't any other program like this one. An interesting thing that speakers almost always say to me afterwards is, what a great audience you have, because we have Q&A sessions following the talks. And we have a very knowledgeable clientele, a very knowledgeable audience. And that's sometimes the very best part of the whole evening is the question and answer period. And I think that's the thing that the speakers most enjoy.
Bill Crawley, the professor emeritus at the University of Mary Washington here, the Great Lives Biographical Approaches to History and Culture, about to get underway, and we are going to talk about that and start talking about just the lineup for this season when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
And now, another exciting episode of Molar Man.
I have the worst headache. The entire side of my face hurts. I'm so stressed.
Stafford's home for talk done right, WFVA. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crawley, and this morning, the Great Lives series at the University of Mary Washington are our focus, and we'll jump right into it. Bill, the first series gets underway on the 15th. Patrick Ahern from the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts a week or so ago in with us and mentioned this as something that he wanted to come and see.
Well, the Riverside Center is doing a Rodgers and Hammerstein show later this year. They're doing South Pacific, so this would be good background for people that want to go to see that show to come and hear how it came to be.
The Todd Purdom is the author.
Yeah, Todd Purdom is the main author of a biography of both Rodgers and Hammerstein. One interesting sidelight to that, some people may know his wife. If they never heard of Todd Purdom, they may well have heard of his wife, D.D. Myers. Remember D.D. Myers? She was press secretary for Clinton's for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's coming in from L.A. The good thing about this one that I think people particularly enjoy is I know a little bit about what he plans to do, what Todd plans to do. And I think there'll be lots of music. And, of course, those Rodgers and Hammerstein shows had an awful lot of very familiar songs in them.
Yeah, yeah. So that kicks things off on Tuesday, January 15th. Tuesday, January 24th. This one I'm looking forward to. We know the name Bruce Lee, right. But if you were to ask me, tell me a couple of things about him, I don't think I could tell you much.
Exactly right. Bruce Lee is the classic example of the type of topic I like to include in the series for just that very reason. Names that are very familiar, but once you get past a very superficial knowledge of the person, you know, you really don't know much about him. I certainly didn't know much about Bruce Lee, don't know much about Bruce Lee, except what I've gleaned from the book so far. But it's not surprising that people don't know more about him, because even though he's pretty well known, I didn't realize that he did not become a big star until after his death.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. I did not know. They died quite young. This is not a field that I'm very knowledgeable about. In fact, we have several this year in fields that I'm not knowledgeable about. I knew nothing about martial arts. In fact, I had to be sort of dragged kicking and screaming to do this one, because I just thought, well, I don't know if people will be interested in it, but I was persuaded that Bruce Lee is a very popular figure among a certain demographic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's our demographic, but it is an interesting story. And the person who's going to do it is his biography, Matthew Polly's biography of Bruce Lee, is really the first biography of Lee. Polly is a Rhodes Scholar, Oxford graduate, and an expert in martial arts. He took it up and is quite expert in it himself.
Yeah, as I looked through that, I thought, boy, some of these, like you, I don't know some about a number of this, but especially that. But I do think that there will be some interest in
it's
Bruce
going
Lee.
To, I think there will, and there's another one we'll get to that falls into a similar category of one that I personally, I don't always choose the ones that I would necessarily do, but ones that I think that appeals to a certain demographic.
Bruce Lee on January 22nd. The 29th, Mikhail Gorbachev, which is a name... Boy, back in the 80s with he and Ronald Reagan, it was he was in the news every day.
Exactly.
You never hear that name anymore.
No. But obviously a very crucial figure in the Cold War, the end of the Cold War. And it's interesting how he was able to bring that end of the Cold War to pass without ever a shot being fired. I mean, the Soviet Union dissolved.
Yeah.
No violence, appreciably, at that time. So he is a major figure, and I think, as you say, not much known about. Now, the person, Bill Taubman, who is going to speak on it, who wrote the biography, recent biography of Gorbachev, earlier won a Pulitzer in biography for his biography of Nikita Khrushchev. And you may be too young to remember Khrushchev.
No, and I do.
You do?
Yeah.
But this biography was widely acclaimed when it came out.
I'm assuming Gorbachev is still alive, isn't
I think
he?
So, yes.
But again, he just...
You don't know. You wouldn't... he's disappeared. But
yeah.
Presumably he's still alive.
And so I think that name jumped right out to me, boy, it would be interesting, because some of it we never knew, just because there was so much kind of secrecy
about
the Kremlin.
Exactly.
So, Mikhail Gorbachev on January 29th. February 5th, another one.
Wow.
And one jumped out at me, too, because Benedict Arnold, two people in all of history of thinking about this, Benedict Arnold and Judas Iscariot are probably, you look at people that you just, you see where they made mistakes.
Yeah, well, Benedict Arnold is again in that absolutely classic mold of a name known to everybody, but once you get past, Benedict Arnold, the traitor, then they don't know anything. And the interesting thing is, and this is what the speaker, who's professor up at George Mason, George Malcolm, will point out, is that had he not done what he did eventually, becoming a sort of turncoat, he would have been, she says, as big a hero as George Washington. That he's generally regarded as Washington's equal as a commander, and was a tremendous a wartime hero until he did what he did, and that destroyed it all. But most people have had no idea that Arnold was that prominent a commander.
No, and then that's the, you know, people, it's one of those terms where you throw around, well, he's a Benedict Arnold. If you were to ask someone, so tell me a little bit about him, and what did he do?
I couldn't say much.
No.
But that's one that might prompt someone to say, Benedict Arnold, how can you claim he was great? Well, come find out at the lecture.
Right. And that's one of the things, Bill, that the series, I know a lot of people who come to a lot of these just because, you know, they've got nothing to do, and you learn.
The price is right too. That's free.
It's free. That's one of the other things I was going to say earlier when I said a lot of communities don't have this, or if they do have it, there's some kind of a price tag involved.
It would be, yes.
But no, you even if you can only make a handful of great lives lectures, you're going to walk out of it a lot more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I don't know if I, as you said, choose the five that I would go to. I don't know which one. Fortunately, I get to go to all of them, but it'd be hard to choose this year's lineup.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. And again, February 5th, Benedict Arnold, I think will be very interesting. I don't even think I've ever seen a picture of him.
Probably not. I can't conjure up what he looks like myself.
But again, that's one of the great things about this series is just the question and answer and the people that you have, the authors that can come in and talk so knowledgeable, and just a lot of the little extra things they bring.
Well, that's right. And the interesting thing is, that makes it particularly special, I think, is that these speakers are, in most cases, the preeminent authority on that subject. So the audience will hear speakers who know more about that topic probably than anybody in the world, in most cases. And there's some of the major figures, there have been a number of people who've written about them, so there are a lot of knowledgeable people. But in some cases, I would say in most cases in this year's series, the speaker is the preeminent authority.
On February 7th, Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
I know the name, but
right,
I don't
there
know.
There you go. Okay. Well, that's right. You'd probably think about primates.
Yes.
And rightly, you should. But she's an interesting figure. Dale Peterson, the speaker, is certainly her paramount biographer. She was interesting in a number of ways, not least of which was when she started her research in Africa, she was an amateur. She was not a professionally trained primatologist.
I didn't know that.
Not at all. And yet she devoted herself to it and came up with some very startling conclusions, not least of which was that she determined, by her observations, that primates actually made tools which destroyed the sort of standard definition of man as the tool-making animal.
Yeah.
It was thought that man was the only one. And she saw them, observed them making tools, and later did acquire academic credentials and became accepted in the profession. But she was a path-breaking figure.
Interesting. And again, just in the fact that she was a woman in this field.
I started to say something that's not correct. I started to say it's during Women's History Month, but it's not. It's during Black History Month, which brings us to the next topic on this series, which is a Black History topic, named Billie Holiday.
February 14th on Valentine's Day. Billie Holiday, the topic.
I hadn't really thought that it was. I hadn't planned it to be on Valentine's Day, but it is. This is one of those topics that I don't know much at all about. I don't have much background in music, and certainly not jazz and so on, but from what I've understood or do understand about Billie Holiday is her music is sort of a mixture from a lot of different sources. She was raised Catholic, I have learned that, but then went on to be very influenced by gospel music and so on, and particularly by religion. Indeed, the speaker, Tracy Fessenden, who's a professor at Arizona State, titled a book, Religion, around Billie Holiday, and her contention is that religion played a crucial role in Billie Holiday's music.
One of the things, I guess, as you put the Great Lives series together, some of it is tied to just the biographies that are coming out at that time.
Many of them. In fact, I would say that the primary source of my subject matter here is are the biographies that come out within the previous year. Sometimes they come out a bit late in the year to get included in the upcoming series, but we get them as soon as we can. So most of these are based on fairly new or very new biographies. In fact, one of them has not come out yet, but anyway, we'll get to that.
February 19th, Gary Melcher's.
Yeah, I would imagine that every person within the hearing of this program knows who Gary Melcher
yes.
was. And by the way, the speaker is a local person, the curator at the Melcher's Studio and Museum, Joanna Catron. Matter of fact, she was my student some years ago, and a terrific speaker. It will be really a delightful program. I don't know how much people know about Melcher's, but a fascinating figure, very successful at a very young age, widely acclaimed, very well paid throughout his life for his portraiture and for his various paintings. It's a good opportunity to learn about sort of one of our own luminaries here, one of our own great lives. He was native of Detroit, but he lived here much of his life. And no better person to discuss it than our own Joanna Catron.
Yeah, when I saw that, I circled that just because she's been in here and just does a terrific job.
Oh, she's terrific.
Talking about Melcher's. And I looked at that and I thought, boy, it's... Even though a lot of us recognize that name, it always surprises me. A lot of people have never been over to Belmont.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people think he was Dutch because of his fact. They actually figured he was. Of course, he was.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll be a great lecture.
So that will be on Tuesday the 19th. Joanna Catron from Belmont will be talking about Gary Melcher's. We're talking with Bill Crawley from UMW. The Great Lives series is it will be taking place January 15th through April the 9th. It's our focus this morning. More coming up. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll continue going through the list. A lot of great topics to talk about that will be coming through with the Great Live series, and we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crawley from UMW in this morning, the Great Lives series, the William B. Crawley lecture series. When your name was put on the lecture series, Bill, I just thought it was terrific, and what a great honor. I think personally that the Great Lives series, as much work as it is, it's made you younger. it's made you younger.
I never thought of that. It has given me something to keep me off the streets in my retirement, quote retirement, which was in 2010. But I've been doing this course ever since, and it's time consuming and interesting, and it keeps me involved, and I really enjoy it. Not only the public lecture series, but the classroom, still having some involvement with the students. The reason it was named for me, it was a very generous gesture on the part of John Chappell, for whom it was originally mm-hmm. named, because he was the original benefactor. But when he gave another gift for the program, he stipulated that it should be named for me, which was a very kind and generous thing to do, and I very much appreciate it.
It was it's very appropriate. The Great Lives series goes through April the 9th on most Tuesday and Thursday nights at Dodd Auditorium. And if people want to see the full list, it's on the UMW website.
That's right.
And that's where you can mm-hmm. find this. And again, this is the kind of thing. It's kind of appointment. You're going to see a number of these that you're going to want to go to. We pick it up with February 21st, Dale Carnegie, a name that Again, if you ask, that's what really Great Lives is about. I know a little bit about these people.
Yeah, yeah. Dale Carnegie was universally known among people of my generation, but that generation is dwindling. So today's students probably have no idea who Dale Carnegie was. And I don't know who the closest thing today would be. He was the title of the book by Stephen Watts is Self-Help Guru, and he was very much into self-help, which has been a genre that's been very popular, sold a lot of books in that field. But he sort of started it. His most famous book was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I think it came out in the late 30s or early 40s, and it's still in print, and you can still find it in bookstores.
I would never have guessed. I was going to say, that's probably what? Was that early 60s?
No, it's been around a little early. In fact, I think he was at the height of his popularity in the 1950s. But this self-help line of thought goes back at least as far as Benjamin, in this country, as far as Benjamin Franklin, who was, his advice, Poor Richard's Almanac and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gone on to the present. I know Oprah Winfrey may engage in that sort of thing occasionally, but Dale Carnegie is probably the best known of the self-help experts.
February 26th, it's Nelson Mandela.
Now, there's a topic that everybody, whose name everybody will know. I assume they will. The leader in bringing an end to apartheid in South Africa and imprisoned for many years. Many people know the broad outlines of that story, but they won't know the details of that story until they come to this lecture by Richard Stengel. Stengel for many years he was the editor of Time magazine, but also spent at least a year, maybe more, living with Mandela. And so he got to know him on a day-to-day basis. And he, in fact, was the co-author of Mandela's autobiography. And then Stengel wrote his own biography of Mandela. Stengel served as Undersecretary of State in the Obama administration, Undersecretary for, I think, Public Affairs or something. But he's a very, very distinguished writer, historian, public figure himself.
Well, and like you say, Mandela, a very complex person.
Right.
So that will be on February 26th. Nelson Mandela is February 26th. Oscar Wilde is February 28th.
Yeah. Oscar Wilde is a figure that I've wanted to do for a long time, just because he is such an outrageous personality. I mean,
yes.
He was, an able person, and but he was really in the cult of celebrity, and did time in prison, became very, very controversial. But people find him, I do, and many people find him very interesting.
On March 12th, this is the one. If I were to bet, I just think that this is going to be. If you're planning on coming to see about Lucille Ball, get there early.
That's my feeling. I would wager that this will have the largest attendance for this one, because Lucille Ball was simply an iconic figure in the entertainment world for several decades, certainly in the 50s and 60s. Her biographer, Kathleen Brady, also appears to be, from my communication with her and lining her up to do this talk, appears to be a similarly interesting figure. So I think it will be largely attended and probably of quite an enjoyable presentation.
Well, she was, just the I Love Lucy series is legendary, and she was a brilliant actor.
Yes, yes.
So Lucille Ball on March 12th. The next two, I will tell you straight out, I can't even pretend that I know about.
Okay.
March 14th, the Radium Girls, and March 19th, the Rocket Girls. You got me on those two.
All right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit. I'll tell you such as I know about them. The Radium Girls, that book came out, the title of which was The Radium Girls, subtitled The Dark Story of America's Shining Women. And, well, the reason they were shining was, it's kind of a play on words there, around World War I, radium had just been discovered by the Curies. And it was regarded as a miraculous thing, used for all sorts of purposes, not least of which was, at that time, was used to paint glowing dials on watches. And they hired the government, I assume, some department of the government, hired women, young women, to do that job. And they painted the radium on the dials, but they did it oftentimes by dipping a paintbrush into the radium and licking it with their tongues and paint the faces of the watches. Well, you can see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
And that is the way it went. It's said that these women would actually glow in the dark from the radium that they had probably ingested. So you know that's not going to have a good outcome.
No.
And it didn't.
Boy, what an awful story, though.
That's what I hadn't heard of. But it's a best-selling book. Kate Moore, by the way, is one of the several British authors we have coming.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned the one after that, the Rocket Girls.
Yeah.
Nathalia Holt. Well, this is sort of along the line, very much along the lines of the book that came out a few years ago called Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, yeah.
In fact, so the precursor to that, in a way, the Rocket Girls were women, young women who were hired by the Jet Propulsion Lab to do mathematical calculations in the early years of rocketry. But before computers. And then when computers came, they were in the first wave of the experts on computers. But that Jet Propulsion Lab later sort of, I think, morphed into NASA, and then you get into the Hidden Figures era.
Okay, so both of those are my interest in it is peaked a little bit more because I looked at those two and I thought I have no idea.
By the way, if people are interested in finding out more about them, you mentioned the website. If you go to the Mary Washington website, it's actually umw.edu/greatlives, and it contains the schedule for the semester along with descriptions of the talk and some biographical information about the speakers. So that could be helpful to people who are considering coming to some of these talks.
March 21st is you move into the into fantasy writing with Tolkien.
Yeah, this is the proof that I don't always choose them because I like them. I know it's vastly popular. I just happen not to be particularly knowledgeable about or interested in fantasy, but a lot of people are. And this is another one my arm was twisted into doing this by someone who really, really is into it. I did it with some misgivings, but the more I think about it and the more people I've talked to, I'm not so sure it won't be one of the largest attended because if people like it, they really like it.
They do, yeah. No, I looked at this and I knew that he had a close tie in with C.S. Lewis.
Very close, very close. But one of the interesting things I've learned about that is when he wrote The Hobbit, he started out, this though was very interesting. He was grading papers. He was a teacher, and he was grading papers, and he came across a blue book, but anyway, a booklet and a test book that had an empty page in it.
Yeah.
And he said, for reasons unknown to him, he just wrote down something like, it was one sentence, deep in the ground there lived a hobbit. And he said he had no idea what a hobbit was or anything about what the story was going to be.
And from there it went.
He just wrote that one sentence down, and from there it took off to that and the Lord of the Rings and all the rest.
Isn't that interesting? Tolkien on the 21st. March 26th, Laura Ingalls Wilder. That one, I think, will be very popular.
I think it will. At long last, my wife gets her wish to do Laura Ingalls Wilder because she loved the Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
And many, many people do. I think it will be largely attended. Caroline Fraser, the author of the book called Prairie Fires, was the winner the 2018 Pulitzer Prize in biography.
The just because so many people like the TV series and have read the books.
Right. I think my wife said she read every one of them. Now, it's like I didn't read them, but I know how popular they were.
So that will be Laura Ingalls Wilder on March 26th. It is the Great Live Series. Bill Crawley from UMW in here this morning as we go through everything. I mean, to do something like this, you probably have at least parts of of next year's great lives already mapped out?
Well, I do, as a matter of fact.
You have to, just because to. There's so many.
I keep a running list of the books, biographies, as they come out that seem interesting, seem like it'd be viable topics. Sometimes there are problems with them. I mean, much as I would like to do them, sometimes the cost is prohibitive.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's probably my biggest problem. Thankfully, we have, as I said earlier, very good support from the community, both individuals and corporate support, that allows us to get some people that otherwise we could never afford to do. Most of the speakers are funded by private donations. Of course, the university's contribution is the support staff and the venue and all that. But the actual payment of the speakers comes largely from private individuals and local corporations. I have a list, running list, that I probably could pick out enough for all of next year and the year beyond that would be good topics. One that I was going to do, wanted to do this year because it may win next year's Pulitzer. It's gotten such great publicity, and the review has been so great. It's a biography of Frederick Douglass, very fascinating figure, by a Yale professor named David Blight. And I know I've corresponded, but I know he will come, but it's too late this year to get him in this year's series. Another book that's coming out that I'm pretty sure we will do next year is a biography of Sandra Day O'Connor by Evan Thomas, who's been here before, and I'm sure he will do it. So we've got lots of good possibilities for next year.
Is there anybody out there that you haven't done that you would love to?
As a speaker?
Yeah,
there is. There are several. One is, I'd like to have David McCullough. Now, we've had David McCullough at the university, but not in this series. That was in the earlier Fredericksburg Forum. Now, that was by subscription. That was paid.
That was, yeah.
And
I
you can recover
that.
Some of the cost, mm-hmm. but he is awfully... awfully expensive, trying to think of the woman name just won't occur to me right now. A terrific writer. Anyway, she's done a number of things, but I know her. I know her fees are off the chart. That's the main reason we can't get them.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're glad that we can get Bill Crawley in here to talk about great lives. We'll wrap this up and talk about the final few shows and lectures that come up on the series when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crawley from UMW here, Great Lives, the biographical approaches to history and culture. It goes through April the 9th. One of the ones I'm looking forward to, April 2nd, baseball season will be underway or getting started. Gehrig and Ripken, what a great series that will be.
Well, I think so. I've often wanted to do Lou Gehrig, and there's a biography out there, maybe more than one. But then this past year, John Eisenberg, longtime Baltimore journalist, came out with this dual biography on Gehrig and Ripken. The title of it is The Streak, of course referring to what he calls baseball's most historic record, consecutive games. And of course Ripken being sort of local in a way, I mean, has some ties to Fredericksburg. That I'm sure that there'll be tremendous interest in that. I even thought about trying to get him to come, and I'm sure he would make an appearance if asked. But again, you get into it would probably be, I don't know, but I suspect it might be expensive. I don't know.
Yeah, boy, but to have the two of them and that the record and with the Orioles and everything, that one will be looking forward to that one. April the 4th, I'll let you pronounce it because I'm not sure.
The Romanovs. I thought it was a good time to do this for several reasons. One thing, Helen Rappaport, who is another British historian, She's written several books on the Romanovs, and most recently one about the end of that dynasty. I'm not a European historian, so I'd be reluctant to say how long that dynasty ruled in Russia, but it was a long time, centuries. And it came to an end, and the reason I thought this was a good year, it came to an end 100 years ago. Well, in 1918, so the 100th anniversary of the death of the Romanovs, the last two, Nicholas and Alexandra and their five children, was almost exactly 100 years ago.
Okay. That'll be April the 4th. And then the series wraps up on April the 9th. This one, I think, also has, it will be a lot of interest, POW Wives.
Right. The book, the speaker is Heath Hardage Lee. Heath Lee has spoken here before. And this is her most recent book, so recent, in fact, that it hasn't come out yet. But it will be out in early April before her talk here. It's titled The League of Wives, and it's about the women who lobbied and worked so hard to get the release of the POWs and information on the MIAs. And incidentally, the rights to this book have been acquired by Reese Witherspoon for a feature film that she's planning to make.
Huh.
Yeah, and there's a local connection with Mary Washington in that one of the key figures in that group of women was a woman named Jane Denton, whose husband Jeremiah Denton was one of the POWs whose release was sought and achieved, and he came back to be a United States Senator, as a matter of fact, from Alabama.
I remember when he was first released and how exciting that was when he got off the plane.
Exactly. Well, his wife was crucial or instrumental in that group of women, and so we have that local connection. And Heath Lee is a very good speaker.
We forget. I mean that time with Vietnam and when the prisoners came home, that was
very emotional.
Huge, yeah, very emotional.
And I would imagine that there'll be considerable interest because there's a lot of military presence in this area, Quantico and so on. I would imagine that will attract and should attract a large audience.
One of the great things about Great Lives is it starts as we are in the winter, and by the time it's concluded, the leaves are almost coming onto the trees. It's a great time of year to have it.
Exactly. I've thought about and discussed with various people the possibility of having a fall series as well, and the consensus is keep it in this time of year because if you do it in the late summer and fall, the first semester, there's so many other things going on, you probably wouldn't have the audiences, probably wouldn't attract the audience. And we've done a couple standalone lectures in the fall, and they were not as well attended.
You did one. I remember one year you added one, and that was one you did, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did. I was talked into that, maybe against my better judgment, by the then First Lady of the University, Rose Hurley, the president's wife, said, "Why don't you do one?" Well, anyway, so what I did was very parochial, local. I did the Great Lives of Mary Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoyed it. I've done it before in many different venues, but it was surprisingly large number of people, more than I thought would come.
Bill Crawley with us this morning. The Great Lives series at University of Mary Washington begins tomorrow night. Go to umw.edu for the full lineup of the Great Lives series at UMW. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.